Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Asatara Satishi Shimadas Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Gadadhar Shriva Sadigor Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Gadadhar Shriva Sadigor Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namne. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesis and Nivadi Paskatyapa Siddharame. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri Vanchakalpachi Vishakhi Pasindavya Vichapatitinam Pavanevyo Vaishnavya Namah. So today is June 15, 2020. This is the disappearance day of Shri Vas Thakur. We're in Hillsboro, North Carolina. And we are going to get this right somehow or other. Okay. So, of course, we sang every day the Panchatattva Mahamantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva, Sadigaur, Bhaktivrinda, and does it have to be here to work? It's not working.
It's working
second, though. It's working now. Maybe the mouse has to be on it?
No, the mouse has not. This has someone.
No. I'll try it.
Battery must have gone out.
All right, well, let's see if the mouse works.
Let's use the mouse instead.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Wonder. So Sri Vas Thakur is considered the foremost of all of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And okay. There we go. Sri Vas Thakur's wife is Malini Devi. And when Mahaprabhu was born, they worshipped the Lord, so they appeared as his superiors, as his elders. And in the Gauragana Desh Deepika, Sri Vas Pandit is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And Ram Pandit, his younger brother, is an incarnation of Parvat Muni, who's a great friend of Narada's. And I find, this is from the purport of C.C. Adi 10.8, and I find it interesting that Narada Muni is Sri Vas Thakur. Anybody think of something interesting about that?
He's married.
He's married. We think Narada Muni is this eternal brahmachari, this eternal renunciate. And sometimes devotees ask about, you know, our eternal identity, and they'll think of it in terms of something material. Just like in this life, I have a particular identity and I don't have another identity. So I'm a woman, I'm not a man. I'm an American, I'm not a Brazilian. And there's limitations because of our particular body. Yes, we all have limitations. Yeah? I could never be like an Olympic swimmer in this body or something like that, or a wrestler. Just wouldn't work. Or, you know, I couldn't fly in the sky. So people are thinking, in my eternal identity, I'm also going to be constrained. You know, I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do. It's going to be something forced on me, like this body is forced on us by karma. So there's several responses to that. One is our eternal identity is according to our own desire. It's not forced upon us by anyone. And the other answer is that the liberated souls take different forms and different relationships with different incarnations simultaneously. So this fact is explained by Srila Prabhupada in a letter where he talks about how the liberated jivas can expand themselves, not unlimitedly like Krishna, who's in every atom, but can expand themselves and have different relationships simultaneously. It's explained by Narada Muni to Gopal Kumara in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how he is present in so many different places simultaneously as Narada, but here he's also present in another form. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says that some devotees are only manifested in Gaura Lila, some only manifested in Krishna Lila, and some both. And some, like cowherd boys in Krishna Lila, are also Brahmin associates of, say, Lord Nityananda in Gaura Lila, and monkey associates of Lord Ram in Ram Lila. So the liberated soul is not constrained by, you know, we have to be careful about projecting our material concepts onto the spiritual body. Now we also have the identity of Sri Vastakura's wife, Malini. This is from Adi 10.8. So she's celebrated as an incarnation of the nurse Ambika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk. So, you know, we may wonder that in the spiritual world, when one has one's eternal position, what happens? I mean, Krishna already has his mother and father. You know, so Krishna has many, many, many gopis and many, many friends, but parents, he just has his parents. What happens to people who want a parental relationship with Krishna? But Krishna also arranges for an unlimited number of devotees to have a parental relationship. And here we see Ambika is feeding the Lord with her breast milk. And then Srivasa's niece, the mother of Thakur Vrindavan Das, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavata, was the sister of Ambika in Krishna. And then Prabhupada's purport again from 10.8. We also understand from the description of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvipa possibly because of feelings of separation and domiciled at Kumarahatta. So there's a lot of information like this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada's giving geographical information in India. This is where the train station stops. This is this particular location where this took place. And there are many devotees who visit these places. I'd like, say, Lokanath Maharaj, who took the Padyatra around India and going to all these places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, Srivas Thakur is one of the most important pillars in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Right, because the Sankirtan movement was headquartered at the house of Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur and Advaitacharya were the two main householder disciples of Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa. And here in Adi, the CC Adi 1056 purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Avirbhava. So Mahaprabhu is manifesting in the house of Srivas Thakur even when he's not externally, obviously present. So, of course, this is, like Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say in our ISKCON kirtans, that Narada Muni was there, or the demigods were there. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also manifest, even if he wasn't necessarily visible to everyone. Of course, that happened in the Chip Rice Festival, where Lord Nityananda invited Raghunath Das Goswami. We just had that festival here. Yes? So, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not apparently there, in his Avirbhava manifestation, he was there, and Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda were putting chipped rice in each other's mouth. So we're going to look briefly, we don't have a lot of time, we're going to look briefly at a number of pastimes that involve Srivas Thakur. So first is the 21 hours of ecstasy. So this is one of the rare situations. Ratna Radhika was speaking about this pastime a few weeks ago, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested that he was the Lord, that he manifested that he was Vishnu, that he was Krishna, that he wasn't just a devotee. Generally, Mahaprabhu, whenever anybody said that he was the Lord, he'd go, Vishnu, Vishnu, because he doesn't want for jivas to claim to be God. But in this case, he actually manifested, yes, I am Vishnu. And Srivas Thakur engaged in an Abhishek and of the Lord. And then the Lord was seated, Prabhupada said, on a cot. I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, I think of a cot as like a really low-class kind of bed, so I'm not quite sure what Prabhupada meant with that word there. And the Lord exhibited this transcendental opulence. This is a picture of one of the exhibits in our ISKCON temple in Mayapur Dham. And as Ratnaradika explained a lot of these pastimes the other day, we're not going to go into them in depth, but there was this maidservant named Duki, which means misery. Imagine having the name Misery. Even nowadays, some people name their children very interesting names, right? Very strange names. So, I heard about one family, they saw a no smoking sign in the maternity ward, and they named their kid Nasmo King. You know, King is the middle name, and Nasmo is the... So sometimes these things happen. So anyway, somehow she got named as Duki, and Mahaprabhu, in his 21 hours of ecstasy, called her Suki, or happiness. And Murari Gupta, who was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and it's a something we could go into in great depth, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu often induced devotees of Ramachandra to become devotees of Krishna. But in certain cases where the devotees could not be so induced, Mahaprabhu glorified and reveled in their devotion to Ramachandra. And to me, the most heart-wrenching example of this is the Brahmana in South India who couldn't cook because Ravana had taken Sita. He invited Mahaprabhu for lunch. Imagine being invited for lunch, and then you go there, and your host hasn't even started cooking. You know, you're supposed to come at... I'm supposed to come to your house today, right? 1 o'clock for lunch. So imagine if I get there at 1 o'clock and you haven't even started. And the Brahmin is just like, how can I start cooking? Since the universal mother has been taken by Ravana, and he's crying. And Mahaprabhu had to assure him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much went out of his way. He went to a temple, he got a copy of this page from the Korma Purana, saying that Ravana had only kidnapped a shadow Sita. Then he put the copy of the page back with the permission of the temple authorities. Put a copy of the page back in the original book and took the original page, backtracked his steps, and went back to the Brahmin and said, see, it wasn't the original Sita. Don't worry, Ravana didn't touch the original Sita. So this was the great honor and respect Mahaprabhu paid to the devotees of Ramachandra. Blessings to Haridasa Thakur, then the favor to Mukunda, which we talked about the other day. We could speak about that probably for several hours. This juxtaposition of Mahaprabhu saying, it will be millions of births before you'll see me. And the happiness of Mukunda at being told that someday I'll see the Lord. This utter humility at accepting that, and this utter happiness at receiving the Lord's mercy. Now, this next pastime is particularly instructive and one that I know is something difficult for me to say, oh, I think I could do that. I think for most of us, being able to follow in the footsteps of Srivast Thakur in this kind of a circumstance is perhaps, at least for me, one of my biggest challenges to following the third verse of the Shikshastika, to being able to exist without anybody showing me any respect and to respect everybody else. And Srivast Thakur had an incredible response to this in this particular circumstances. So the kirtans in the house of Srivast Thakur were private. Mahaprabhu did public kirtans, but he also did private kirtans. And this example is something that Srila Prabhupada cites often, that the devotees, this is to avoid preaching the glories of the holy name to the faithless, that we don't discuss everything or do everything with everybody. It's not that we talk about intimate Radha Krishna pastimes, you know, to the general public. It's not appropriate. And so there are certain things that are best left just for intimate associates and certain things that can be done in the public. I mean, I think everybody can understand this even materially. Even on a material level, we don't talk about our personal family situations, you know, with everybody in the universe, is it? Right? We have a private life. So in spirituality also we have a private life. In Prema Samput it's explained that, you know, if you put a little flame out in the wind, it will be extinguished. So, you know, there are certain things we can and should discuss with intimate like-minded associates, but they're not meant for the public. And even in this case, the kirtans, there were some kirtans where the devotees were exhibiting such symptoms of ecstasy that it would be a disturbance to people in general. And we saw the other day when we were talking about Ramananda Roy, when Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started showing symptoms of ecstasy when they first met each other, the smarta brahmanas there were disturbed. Like, why is this sannyasi embracing this shudra and crying? You know, this is really inappropriate. And so they stopped themselves and they decided to meet in private. So it's not that such things can't exist in our Hare Krishna movement, but they should exist in a way that's respectful of different people's level of advancement and different circumstances. But what often happens is people who don't have the adhikar, who are not qualified, become very envious, and that's exactly what happens. So, you know, the non-believers were just so, why can't we get in? Why can't we get in? You know, why can't we get in? Why can't we get in? And then one of these, Gopal Chapala, now he was a brahmana, but he was so envious and so disturbed that he wasn't allowed in this intimate association's intimate kirtan. So this is the opposite of the adhikar. The adhikar is humility. The adhikar is, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified. Like Haridas Thakur, you know, who'd stay in Jagannath Puri, he'd stay at a distance. Or Sanatana Goswami, who walked on the burning hot sand rather than touch the pujaris. So the adhikar is to say you don't have an adhikar, and to come in only by forceful invitation. But here we see the opposite. The disqualification is thinking, you know, I'm going to break down the door, I'm going to force my way in, and if I can't go in, I'm going to cause trouble. So what he did was he put articles for worshipping Durga Devi outside Srivas Thakur's door. And to understand this, we would understand something of Bengali culture. So in Bengali culture, the main two groups of Hindus, shall we say, or followers of the Vedas, are Vaishnavas and Durga worshippers, Shaktas. So in some parts of India, it's mostly Vaishnavas and Shaivites. In certain parts of India, it's Vaishnavas and worshippers of Kartikeya. Like in South India, you see large numbers of people who worship Kartikeya. It's one of the main deities in South India. But in Bengal, the two groups are primarily those who worship Vishnu and Krishna and those who worship Durga and Kali. And even now in Bengal, Durga Puja and Kali Puja is very prominent. So they were trying to criticize, you know, just you could imagine in ISKCON if we tried to insinuate that somebody was a Mayavadi, for example. You know, one devotee, Brahmahurta Prabhu, who's a trustee of the BBT, said that one of the early times when he visited a temple, he was, you know, very, very new to Krishna consciousness, just kind of exploring, hadn't yet made a commitment to Krishna consciousness. He had with him a Bhagavad Gita that was translated by some impersonalists. And when the devotees found this Bhagavad Gita with his stuff, they threw him out on the street at night in the pouring rain. Please don't do that. But this is the mood, you know, like, oh my God, you've got Mayavadi books, you're listening to Mayavadi lectures, you know. This was the kind of, you all following? Yes? So this was what was going on here. You know, putting this paraphernalia for worshipping Durga. And he placed odapula, turmeric, vermilion, red sandalwood and rice, and a pot of wine also. So what do we call this? Framing somebody, right? I'm trying to frame someone. So again, imagine that. Imagine if somebody put, you know, wine in your room. Mayavadi books, demigod murtis, you know, Bhadrakali murti, bottles of wine, marijuana, you know, maybe pornography. Now just see this person. So this is what this Gopal Chapala did. And this is one of the worst ways of trying to offend a Vaishnava. Sometimes we say the physical offense is the worst, like with Bhrigu Muni, when he put his foot on Lord Vishnu's chest. But also trying to ruin someone's reputation, we could say, is even a more serious form of blasphemy, a more serious form of offense. This is what the prostitute tried to do to Haridas Thakur, to try to ruin the reputation. I mean, I think Shakespeare says, you know, if you take my money yesterday was somebody else's, today it's mine, tomorrow it's somebody else's. But if you take my name, that's a very serious thing. And in the Bible, one of the seven deadly sins is to bear false witness. And it says, of all the things that the Lord hates the sins, but this one he absolutely despises. And not only is it a really, really terrible thing to do to another person, but it's also sowing discord between brothers, which is another one of the seven deadly sins. So it's a very terrible thing to say something false about somebody in order to ruin their reputation, in order to ruin their ability to function in their society. So I know how I would respond to this. I would, you know, defend myself and bring out all the proof that this wasn't really me, and I'm actually a great person, and I should really be respected, and everybody should love me, and I would point fingers at, you know, who did this, and I'd do a whole investigation. I mean, that's our general response, isn't it? If somebody says something untrue about us. And Srivas Thakur, he didn't do this. In fact, he did just the opposite. He called for all the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood and said, "Gentlemen, every night I worship the goddess Bhavani. Since the paraphernalia for the worship is present here, now all you respectable brahmanas and members of the higher caste can understand my position." So he just said, "Okay, here you go. Now you know. Now you know what I'm really doing." Not only did he not defend himself, but he just said, "Okay, fine, if that's what you want to think." And immediately, the assembled gentlemen, they understood that he had been framed. They called for a sweeper to clean the place. And then the person who did this, Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy. And he had blood and germs and insects coming from his body. And in such distress, he left the village. And then he appealed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has afflicted me. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy." So, what do you think Mahaprabhu is going to do?
Say no.
He's going to say no. And not only does he say no, I mean, I find this interesting about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we talk about him as, you know, Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauraji Sainoha, the most merciful, Patita Pavana. Is he merciful here? No. He says, "Oh, sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. You have made Srivas Thakur appear to have been worshipping the goddess Bhavani. Simply for this offense, you will have to fall down into hellish life for 10 million births." You know what? Let's not criticize devotees. Just a good idea? Let's just not criticize devotees. I mean, if you absolutely know for sure that someone's done something criminal, call the police. You know, get the law enforcement involved. But please, let us not just go around criticizing devotees and or spreading rumors. You know, I heard this person said, "Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about, maybe they did this or maybe they did that?" We have in our Hare Krishna movement, people associated with our Hare Krishna movement who actually create websites to blaspheme devotees. Some of them create websites to knowingly, intentionally propagate lies about devotees. Knowingly. And I confronted one of these devotees some years ago and I said, "You know, why are you creating this video that you know is a lie?" And he said, "Oh, everybody else knows it's a lie." I said, "How do they know it's a lie? And why are you putting it out there if it's a lie?" So we should be extremely, extremely, extremely careful Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Anybody, even the most fallen person, can get his mercy. But not if we're going to do something like this. We can get mercy if we've fallen into sinful activity ourselves. Jagai and Madai received the mercy of the Lord. But not if we blaspheme devotees, especially if we try to ruin their reputation with lies. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. He went to Jagannath Puri, and he came back. And now the man took shelter of him again. Said, but this time, instead of just saying, please forgive me, he said, I take shelter of you. Tell me what I need to do. And if you can see the subtle difference here, there's a difference between saying, I don't want to suffer for what I did wrong. Please relieve me from my suffering. And I recognize I've done something wrong. How can I rectify it? Is that clear? The difference with that? You know, if I come here in an anger, I break one of the temple windows with a stone, and then I say, oh, please don't make me suffer. Please don't make me suffer. Or if I come and say, you know, look, I did something wrong. What can I do to rectify myself? Yes? So now he's coming and saying, what can I do to rectify myself? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you have to go to Srivast Thakur and beg his mercy. So he did that, and then Srivast Thakur freed him from all sinful reactions. Now we're going to go to the story of how his son died. This is also an amazing story, and a story that, you know, when I read these stories, hear these stories, I just think, wow, I am just not a Vaishnava at all. You know, the mood of someone like Srivast Thakur is on such a higher level that, and I just feel so blessed to even know about such personalities. So while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his kirtan in the house of Srivast Thakur, one of Srivast Thakur's sons who had been sick died. And the relatives, of course, were lamenting. Stop, don't make any noise. Don't disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan. And so the noise was stopped. Everybody repressed their crying. But still, Lord Chaitanya could understand that there had been some calamity. He said some calamity happened in this house. I mean, even an ordinary person can sometimes understand when people are repressing their feelings, isn't it? What to speak of the Lord. And then when they told him that Srivast Thakur's son, he said, why didn't you tell me he died? So Srivast Thakur had the mood of not disturbing the Lord, and the Lord had the mood of wanting to respect Srivast Thakur. And then he went to the boy and he touched him and he said, why are you leaving the house of Srivast Thakur? And of course, this story reminds us of the story of Kitraketu's son. The dead son immediately replied, I was living in this house as long as I was destined to live here. Now that the time is over, I am going elsewhere according to your direction. I am your eternal servant, a dependent living being. I must act only according to your desire. Beyond your desire, I cannot do anything. I have no such power. And hearing this, all the family members were relieved. They could understand that this is a soul, they're not the body, that they didn't need to lament. But it wasn't just a matter of transcendental knowledge, because Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda said to Srivast Thakur, you don't have to worry about ordinary sons. I will be your son. We will be your sons. When my god sister Chintamani, when her husband took sannyas, Prabhupada gave her deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra, and said, make Jagannath your husband, Balaram your son, and Subhadra your daughter. She didn't exactly do that, for which she was sorry later. But anyway, that was Prabhupada's mood, is these ordinary husbands, these ordinary children, these ordinary parents, they're always coming and going. They're not dependable. They can die at any moment. They disappoint us in so many ways. They always say, make Krishna your husband, make Krishna your son, make Krishna your friend. They'll never disappoint you. Just very briefly, I just want to mention this very briefly, because in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada talks about how one should meditate on the Astika Lila Lila, and there's not much mention of the Astika Lila Lila as such in Srila Prabhupada's books. There is this mention how when Srivas Thakur was asked by Mahaprabhu to deliver his flute, that Srivas Thakur started talking to Mahaprabhu about Astika Lila Lila. There's also the Lila of Lord Nrisingadev, that when Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Thakur to say the Vishnu Sahasranam, then Srivas Thakur came to the name of Lord Nrisingadev, and Mahaprabhu became very thoughtful, and he took up the mood of Lord Nrisingadev, and he started running through the city streets with a club. And in that ecstasy, seeing that mood of Nrisingadev, everybody became terrified, and they all ran away from him. And then Mahaprabhu, seeing that everybody was scared, he came back to Srivas Thakur, threw away his club, and said, "I've offended people by making them frightened." Right? This is actually important, that in the course of our preaching, and I know I've been guilty of this, that sometimes, you know, preaching so heavy that I intimidate people and scare people. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to present Krishna consciousness so in such a strong way that people get into anxiety. And so he said, you know, this is an offense. And then Shiva said, anyone who takes your holy name vanquishes 10 millions of his offenses. And so your appearing as Nrisingadev is not an offense. Actually, anyone who saw you in that mood is immediately liberated from material bondage. And Srivas worshipped the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased. Now, I don't know how to go through... I don't have time to do everything, so I'm going to go through Devananda Pandit. Oops. Oh, no. Now what? Oh, Krishna.
You can just tell us.
I can just tell you. All right, it's such nice pictures for this one. Here we go. Okay. So, this was at Rathi. Actually, this is the last one I'll tell. This is when Maharaj Pratyabhuruja was watching the dancing, and Pratyabhuruja could see that Mahaprabhu had expanded himself into 7 dancing parties simultaneously. And each dancing party, by the way, had a designated lead singer and a designated...
Dancer.
So I notice we now have a designated dancer in our temple following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srivas Thakur was ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Mahaprabhu. And seeing Srivas Thakur standing before the king, Harichandra touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to set aside. So Srivas was in so much ecstasy that he's blocking Maharaj Pratyabhuruja, and Harichandra is wanting him to step aside. So he's just like tapping him. He's just, you know, tapping him, tapping him, tapping him, tapping him, tapping him. And Srivas Thakur, who was absorbed in seeing Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't understand, why is somebody touching me? Why is somebody pushing me? So, you know, somebody was pushing you and tapping you. So he kind of like turned around, you know, just turned around. And he ended up slapping Harichandra. So then Harichandra became angry. Right? Isn't this kind of thing happens, right? Some little thing and it just starts escalating. And so now Harichandra is about to say something in anger. And then Maharaj Pratyabhuruja, he says, "You're very fortunate, for you've been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." So such a nice mood, a de-escalating. Right? We're in another series of classes I'm giving on the internet. We're looking at Maharaj Prithu in the 4th canto. And how when Indra steals the horse, Lord Vishnu brings Indra there, and there's this rectification of the relationship between Indra and Prithu. And Srila Prabhupada writes there in the purport that even if there's envy and difficulty between the devotees, they should be able to rectify it. So this kind of difficulty, Maharaj Pratyabhuruja rectified. Don't, you know, this is actually a benediction. So Srivas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have a few minutes. Anybody wants to add anything? Sorry, I thought better to leave some time for questions and skip the Devananda Pandit. Last time. Questions, comments? Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about being very careful and the distinction between being able to see something that is not quite right in the dealings with devotees, that ordering, but you don't want to, you know, be offensive?
Well, first of all, if we see something that's not quite right, we should remember that we have imperfect senses, a tendency to make mistakes, cheating propensity, and a tendency to be illusioned. And therefore, if I see something that's not quite right, the person who might be wrong is me. That should always be the first step. The person who might be wrong is me. We've all had experience of being absolutely sure we were right and finding out we were wrong. Yes? Has everybody had that experience? And we've also had the experience of someone else thinking they were absolutely right, and we knew they were wrong. Yes? Have we all had that experience? That somebody was absolutely right that we had done something wrong, and they were wrong. Yes? So, I remember one time talking to my son Keshava, and I was saying something strongly. He said, "Mother, are you sure?" I said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Are you 100% sure?" And I stopped. I said, "Well, maybe not." So, you know, we might be the one who's wrong. Or maybe it's not a black and white thing. That's the study of hermeneutics looks at a lot of situations where there's more than one explanation, more than one interpretation. As Prabhupada says, seeing things from many angles of vision. And sometimes there's a right action for a brahmana that's a wrong action for a kshatriya. We just gave a class on that the other night at 26 Second Avenue, Bhagavad Gita 136. You know, that sometimes a brahmana should be forgiving and a kshatriya should be punishing. And so you can say, why aren't you punishing? Well, because I'm not a kshatriya, I'm a brahmana. Why aren't you forgiving? Because I'm not a brahmana, I'm a kshatriya. What's right for a householder is wrong for a sannyasi. What's right for a sannyasi is wrong for a householder. So, step back. Look in our own heart. You know, what are my own biases? What are my own attachments? Do some inquiry. If somebody thinks I'm doing something wrong, you know what? I'd like them to hear my side of the story. If they're accusing me of something very serious, I'd like proper justice with due process, right? I don't want someone to just look at me, jump to a conclusion about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and then make a web page about it. And I know I don't like that because people have done that to me. So let's do for someone else what we'd like to do for ourselves. Then after really looking in our own heart, if necessary, going through due process, we really are convinced that it's wrong, then try to rectify things with the person in a nice way, if possible. And if we're talking about criminal activity, call the police.
Talking about what?
If we're talking about criminal activity, call the police. But if we're not talking about criminal activity, try to settle things with the person, go for mediation, try to settle things in a way that's respectful, and recognize that in our society we also have unity and diversity. And that sometimes even things that are wrong, you know, if they're not criminal things and if they're not opposite unto things, sometimes we have to make some room for people to progress at their own pace and come in their own way. And ultimately, if something's really wrong and we've gone through all the right processes, we've talked to the person, we've talked to the authorities, we've gone to the GBC body, whatever, you can always go to the Lord. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shvajamiham. We can say, my dear Lord, there's this adharma going on. I've done everything I can to deal with it, and it's not going away. And then remember that when the Lord told the demigods that he was going to take care of the demons on the earth, it was 44 years later before he killed Kamsa. It's not that Krishna's necessarily come in the next 2 seconds and fixed everything. Is that all right?
Very all right.
Okay. Thank you for your blessing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srivastakur ki jai.